building. I had the stones to come out.
Take it outside the ring.
I was a kid. I was traumatized.
My God, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for inviting us inside your headphones today. Broadcasting to 165 countries around the world with one big podcast. Welcome, everybody!
Pretty intense.
Top Rope.
Oh, wow. Still loving the intro. Hello, everybody. This is Triple M's Top Rope. My name is Angel Rose. With me, my co-host on Triple M and also the voice of PWA, Chris Gale. How are you, sir?
I'm doing so well, Rose. I still find myself at this point of time in my life madly in love with wrestling.
That's great. And also returning this episode, we missed him last show because he was off learning how to be a referee from AWA. It is the babyface, David Nash. How are you, Nashy?
I'm well. I wasn't learning how to be a referee. I had other media commitments. I had to interview only one of the biggest hard rock bands today, Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh, I thought you'd say One Direction, but they're not really hard rock anymore.
But I am honored. We have achieved a lot in our short time here at Top Rope. I thought we might have been nominated for a Nobel Prize by episode 2. That wasn't right.
No.
But I am honored to perform the very first comeback on this show.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. And we didn't get to talk a little bit about it. In a nutshell, did you enjoy WrestleMania, Nashy?
Loved it.
Oh, there you go. Beautiful. Well, I mean, a lot has happened since WrestleMania, gentlemen. And, you know, we have a lot to talk about on the show this week about the superstar shakeup, where all the different superstars are going to land on Raw and SmackDown, but also our first chance to really talk PWA here in Sydney. We're going to have Jack J. Bonza in studio talking to us, which is very, very exciting.
Great to
we
have
you. We love local wrestling here at the Top Rope podcast.
Roll gold Australian wrestling. Loved it.
Jack J. Bonza is a huge, huge force in Australian wrestling, so it's going to be interesting to talk to him about how far it's come in the last couple of years. But let's talk shakeup, gentlemen. Superstar shakeup has happened
Shake
your wrestlers. So we're moving wrestlers between Raw and SmackDown.
Can I ask a question here?
Sure. What?
Yes.
This doesn't really make sense to me. I watch wrestling for a long time, and all of a sudden there were two brands, one company, and now they've got a draft going on. To me, a superstar shakeup was when you went and bought those fries and then you got the spice and you put them in the box and shook them. What's going on here?
Have you ever been to a swap meet?
No, but I know what you're talking about there. I don't want anyone getting hands on my stuff. It's my stuff and I'm not swapping it. But I know other people are prepared to do that.
The superstar shakeup is similar to a swap meet. Instead of it being held at a local suburban football ground, it's held on Raw and SmackDown.
It's held on live television.
So it's a talent exchange.
Yes, essentially Raw and SmackDown are their own brands nowadays. So there's two different talent rosters. The rosters don't really cross over that much at all, except for Survivor Series, really. And you have these two unique brands. And I think every year around this time, they like to shake up the rosters and move wrestlers over to different brands because wrestlers have grown and dropped over the year, become more popular.
And who's making the decisions?
Who's making the decisions?
Nobody knows.
None of us know. I think Vince up on a cloud somewhere is deciding where everyone goes.
Because it used to be the general managers, right?
Yeah.
And now there are no general managers of Raw or SmackDown. And I miss the general managers in the same way I miss wrestling managers.
Do you really miss the general managers?
Absolutely.
I think you're just saying that in memory, right? Because a lot of the general managers have been not that great.
Wasn't Vicky Guerrero a manager at one stage?
Excuse me!
That's my point.
Well, let's start with Raw. Monday Night Raw, which is, you know, forever has been the flagship show, the weekly flagship show for WWE. And they've had some big, big changes, right? So the biggest name we've got to start off with is AJ Styles.
Spat out my dinner. I was watching it and I spat out my dinner.
Really?
I spat out my homemade chicken parmesanas onto my table when I saw that. That got me. Because I didn't expect it.
Chris is already snoring over here. You're already asleep.
You know, I'm not a huge Styles fan, but Nashy, what you're saying is that's one of the major reasons you'd be attracted to watching Raw going to the other show. What does it matter? You just watch him on the other show, don't you?
It's huge because...
No, he's wrong, Nashy. There's so many matchups now he can have. Listen, AJ Styles has come across the Raw. Within 1 week, he's won a number one contendership fight, and now he's facing Seth Rollins for the WWE Universal Championship. Today, Seth Rollins posted a picture of him and AJ Styles face-to-face, and he says, I've waited 15 years for this. For 15 years, we've wanted to see two of the best go at it, and we're going to get it.
Okay, so they've never wrestled before?
No.
And now they'll be wrestling at, dare I say it, Money in the Bank?
Correct.
Thank you.
Cha-ching!
There you go. So it's already, the shakeup has already made crazy new bounds. Another person who's come across to Raw, your boy, The Miz.
Oh, yes, I love The Miz.
The Miz, after getting his dad beat up by Shane McMahon. He's moved across to Raw. So hopefully he does some big things over there. Another interesting debut for Raw, as well as a trading, is a tag team from NXT. They are the current NXT Tag Team Champions. In NXT, they were known as the War Raiders, right? And Hanson and Rowe were their names. They're essentially Viking enthusiasts. Like, they had, like, legitimately Viking enthusiasts. They'd LARP as Vikings. They had a Viking wedding, all this kind of stuff. They're real Viking people.
Are they time travelers?
They have long ships. And, of course, they'd be Canberra fans.
Right, yeah,
and,
of course.
And what's little known is that the Vikings, actually, a breakoff group, came south. And then they got isolated in Lake George and ended up living in the ACT. And you'll find a number of the current residents of that area are actually of Viking extraction.
Wow.
This is proven true in history.
Right.
And if you look at the... And I know they're now called the Viking Raiders. Is that right?
No, no. You've just completely skipped a beat there, Chris. Ruined the entire point.
One of them does look like Kirk Baptiste, who played hooker for the Raiders at one stage.
Yeah, great. Let's keep talking about the Canberra Raiders. Let's get back onto the War Raiders.
Right.
Okay? They were in NXT Tag Team Champions. Now, something that happens when you get brought up to WWE is sometimes they want to repackage you. They go, we can make this better. Usually by taking one of your names away from you. And it used to be Antonio Cesaro. Now it's just Cesaro.
It's like a quarter-life crisis. You think, you know what? I'm going to look better with an eyebrow ring and a middle part.
Yeah.
It's a repackage.
So they repackaged the War Raiders, obviously not wanting to use the word war on national television, as the Viking Experience.
Yeah, that was well-received, I understand it.
No, they sound like a 70s synth-pop band. What are you talking about?
And they're called like Eric and Torsten now or something like that, is it?
I think it's Ivor and Eric or something. Nashie, what did you think of the Viking Experience when they walked out?
I'm thinking Vince was on one of those Norwegian boat cruises and he's looking at this stage show and he thought, there's money in that. There's money in that. And he's drafted them and he's thrown them on Raw and here we are. Now we're talking about it.
Because I've been thinking about this because the Jimi Hendrix Experience was a legitimate rock and roll band.
Mm.
And ever since then, you add the word experience in your parroting. So how did they not understand that?
Is it always a parody when it's experience?
It's always like the Engelbert Humperdinck Experience.
Well, what if it's a Disney ride? I guess that is the Titanic Experience. It's still just the same thing.
Because anyway, they've obviously reacted pretty quickly, haven't they? Because they've changed the name.
Well, I mean, the reaction online was one of, I don't think Eurovision gets laughed at that much. Like it was pretty embarrassing. And they made swift moves and moved them to the Viking Raiders. And now their finisher is called the Viking Experience. So that's something you can really experience.
Isn't that classic WWE, though? They're prepared to acknowledge they've made a mistake, but they won't completely acknowledge it by retaining it as their finishing move.
Yeah, they'll just shift it a little bit.
And I know in Raw they took on the Lucha House Party, except the match never started from what I could see.
Yeah, fake facts. Sami Zayn was originally called the Blue Thunder Bomb. Incredible. Another big tag team that came to Raw was the Usos, probably the greatest tag team of modern tag team wrestling, have come across to Raw. So the Viking Experience have something to do.
They had to move the entire Uso penitentiary, all of the inmates, all of the cells, all of the weight rooms, and I've never been to prison, so I don't know what else they have there.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Nashie, because that is kind of close to reality, and we will talk about that when we get on to SmackDown, is that a lot of the guys that do the Up Up Down Down gaming show with Xavier Woods on SmackDown are now on Raw, so they're kind of panicking about how they're going to do that show. Another big tag team that's coming across the Raw is Heavy Machinery. Have you guys heard about Heavy Machinery?
Who are they?
Stakes and Weights, baby!
Stakes and Weights. It's Otis and Tucker. Otis Dozovich. They just call him the Dozer, Chris Gale. Sounds like you.
I mean, to Otis and Tucker do sound like some bluegrass group, don't they? With a heavy banjo element.
Bone digga, bone digga, bone. It's Heavy Machinery.
But what are they? Like promoting farm equipment or... Got a sponsorship tie-up with John Deere or something?
You know what they remind me of? The Bushwhackers. Do you remember?
I love the Bushwhackers. Yeah, right? They had a sort of an NZ connection, didn't they?
They were. They're New Zealanders.
Well,
yeah.
New Zealand's finest, I would imagine.
Yes, and they've got a similar vibe, right? So they're two big guys. They move in unison. They work in unison. But there's something kind of comedically beautiful about them. Kind of like they're not aware of how funny they really are.
Takes me back to Hillbilly Jim, of course. And then in my era, as I like to refer to it, there was an enormous man who used to come in the sort of the dungarees. His name was Haystacks Calhoun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was his deal?
He was so huge that when we're at high school, if you ever referred to a large human, you just go, you're so Haystacks.
Yeah, see, the Heavy Machinery are the type of guys you would see at the swap meet looking for a new steering wheel because theirs broke off.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of exciting talent there. We've also got Ricochet, who's coming across to Monday Night Raw, who I think everyone should keep an eye out for Ricochet, because he is one of the most naturally gifted wrestlers that's come through WWE in a long time. And he is a human highlight reel. He can fly and jump off anything. So I think he's going to be a huge future. But I'm excited to see AJ Styles and The Miz kind of mix it up on Raw with people like Seth Rollins and stuff. I think Raw could get better for it. What do you guys reckon?
Does it need someone like AJ Styles Raw? That's why it was so unexpected for me, because SmackDown Live is the house that AJ Styles built. So I didn't think that they needed to move AJ to Raw to get that hype, because it didn't need it.
Here's what I'm thinking. It might actually have been AJ's idea, because we like to think of AJ as a fit guy, but he is getting towards the end of his wrestling career. There is not much time for AJ left, whether we like it or not. And there's, I think, a lot of guys that he would like to wrestle before he hangs up the boots.
No, he'll outlast Madonna. If Madonna can still tour, AJ Styles can still do 540 flip splashes.
Yeah, you reckon? He'll be like Ric Flair's age and still flipping off the top rope? That'll be great. oh, my hip.
When Madonna quits, I'll accept AJ retiring.
How's the pain in your ACL? Phenomenal. Well, boys, hang around. After this, we're going to talk to Jack J. Bonds from PWA about all things Australian wrestling and the future of it. And then when we come back, we're going to dig into the other side, SmackDown, and why SmackDown is going to soon become the number one show on WWE. You're on Triple M's Top Rope. You're on Triple M's Top Rope with Chris Rose and Nashi, and at this time, we have a very special guest on the show. He is one half of the PWA Tag Team Champions, Jack J. Bonza, in the studio live. Jack, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you guys?
You're the very first guest on the Top Rope. How exciting is that?
Super exciting.
It's big.
I kind of feel like a guest on this show.
Jack, we had you here today because we wanted to talk about one of our favourite things here in Sydney, and that is PWA. Pro Wrestling Australia has become such a huge part of Australian wrestling. Jack, I wanted to ask you about how much PWA has grown over the last couple of years. The hashtag you're going to notice us thing that happened with PWA has really gotten the world's attention.
Yeah, so the wrestling world's dictated by WWE for the most part. Everybody knows that. WWE has become, it's become so massive that they're controlled by their sponsors. You can't do anything too controversial. It's very family friendly and family oriented, except that, as we remember in the Attitude Era with ECW, with Steve Austin, people don't necessarily just like that. Like, that's fine, but they like something different. What's happened in the last couple of years with New Japan and with different companies around the world, including PWA Black Label, the major shift we actually made was we became 18+. We no longer were a family-friendly event. Nothing wrong with family-friendly events, sure, but 18-plus events, you really get to unleash. And it's just a totally different flavor and something different. The thing about that shift and that change, we're all kind of aware of it. We got a lot better. The quality of indie wrestling in Australia and around the world really picked up, especially with the growth of places like Ring of Honor and New Japan and even Shikara and places like that. And the You're Gonna Notice Us movement, it made it tangible. It gave it a name. It gave it a hashtag, something we could all group together and get behind. Yeah. Mick Moretti, the other half of the PWA Tag Team Champions, he made a video where he just kind of recognized, like, particularly for Australian wrestling, which is really the next big thing in worldwide wrestling, that we're getting better. You haven't noticed us yet, but you're going to. And here's the beginning of it. And then he would show clips of Australian wrestlers who have done stuff like Emma and WWE, like the Iconics, both came from PWA. The Sydney Training School.
Yeah.
They're currently the Women's Tag Team Champions.
What is something different that you do at an 18-plus show that you wouldn't do at a family-friendly show?
We swear.
A lot.
Would be a basic thing. At intermission, we play beer pong.
Yeah.
As a way of engaging the audience. So one of the fans will get in there and play beer pong with one of the audiences. People can swear. Like, I mean, people swear. People can drink. People can do whatever they want. They can hang banners from the guardrails that have swear words or inappropriate.
They can be adults.
There was a banner hung about you once, wasn't there, Rose?
Yes.
And when I used the word hung, the banner wasn't about you being hung, was it?
Matty Wahlberg put up a banner that said Rose has a small penis. He's not wrong. It's just rude.
That point you make about the WWE being controlled by its sponsors, I was watching SmackDown today and it's brought to us by, I think, Orlando Disney Resort or something, sure, or Universal Studios or something.
Are you sure it's not Snickers?
That's right. I mean, that's a really fundamental issue in sport. Here in Australia, the National National Rugby League, there's a case going on where the no-fault stand-down rule they introduced because of players being charged is primarily being driven by sponsor demands.
Right.
Do you want to get into that situation where your promotion is driven by sponsor demands, or will you always stay truly
please,
independent?
Please sponsor us.
We'll still take you on, Mattel. We'll take you on.
We'll turn it so quickly on its head. Yeah. We'll become bland and we'll just give us money.
You mentioned earlier, Jack, about your tag team partner. You know, you are the PWA tag team champions, Mick Moretti. And just recently, one of the greatest events I've seen PWA do was the Coliseum tournament.
Right.
Where over a couple of months, you had these one-on-one knockout matches leading to a main event for the Black Metal Sword, which is the coolest prize for a tournament I've ever seen, a ninja sword. And you faced off against Mick Moretti, your tag team partner, in the final of that tournament. Now, that tournament already has become like such a huge deal after only one run through of the tournament. Tell me a bit about how that's changed PWA.
It was the feel, you know, Australia, like I talk about like that. You're going to notice us making it tangible, having a tournament that invited, you know, the best wrestlers from PWA, but also from around Australia. Yeah. Like the tournament was half interstaters, half PWA talent. It just gets every, you know, when we start getting good, you need to really give people something to latch onto. And it gave some people something to latch onto, something that was a little bit darker, something that was a little bit more for adults, and just really high quality wrestling.
So are you starting to get noticed outside of Sydney?
Yes. So the hashtag now has switched from you're going to notice us to now we conquer.
Now we conquer.
We feel like we've shifted to the next stage.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot more stuff out there now.
We will infiltrate your community.
Rose and I were lucky enough to call the final of you and Mick Moretti, the real rapscallion.
Right.
It was an epic bout. It seems that you guys, obviously having wrestled together, knew each other's moves a lot. It was reversal followed by counter followed by reversal. One thing that always strikes me, Jack Day, is that when, if I can call you Jack Jay,
is that
when you arrive and Mick arrive, Mick gets up on the turnbuckles and everybody cheers. You get up on the turnbuckle and everybody boos. What's that about?
Well, remember that thing I said about people being douchebags?
Well, question answered.
You know, I like to get results. I like to do what's going to work. I like to beat people up. Mick likes to showboat.
Mick won, though. Am I right? He actually possesses the Black Metal Sword. Is that correct?
Technically, I think.
Yeah, but they're still tag team champions, won. Chris. Stop grilling Jack J. Bonzo.
Well,
are
you know, but it is on the line again this October, correct?
Well, no, it'll be a different prize. So every Coliseum tournament, like Mick won that sword, and now that's going to live with him forever.
Wow.
So the next. It'll be a sword again, but it won't be black metal. It probably won't be a kettle. We're thinking about nunchucks.
Ooh.
A Jeff will make it be nice.
It's going to be a sword.
I mean, the trouble with the sword, I mean, it's good and everything, but it's a hell of a letter opener. I thought something practical, like
a kettle.
Dustbuster.
But, I mean, this Coliseum tournament was so big for its first time round that you're planning to make it even bigger the next time, right?
Well, yeah, this time it's going to be a two-day tournament. So the previous tournament went over, you know, there was a round every month for three events. This time in October, it's going to be one big weekend. There's going to be international talent on top of interstate talent, on top of local talent. There's going to be a big fan enclave and stuff during the day. We're turning it into like a big destination event tournament.
For people all over Australia, you want to come?
People all over Australia. There will be just a ton of the best wrestlers.
There's someone I wanted to talk to you about who's a huge part of PWA and also a huge part of Australian wrestling in general. And that is Robbie Eagles. And it was just
Sniper of the Skies.
The Sniper of the Skies, Nashie, precisely.
And see, I never worked out if he was, is he in the sky sniping people or is he sniping the
skies? He represents the skies? Of the skies? I don't know. But he just got announced yesterday as part of the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, which is a huge tournament over in New Japan. This is a huge deal for an Australian to be part of this tournament.
Yeah.
What's it like working with Robbie and how important is he to the Australian scene?
Robbie's incredibly important. Robbie's the number one Australian wrestler in the world, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you can make the argument that the guys from WWE are bigger, but getting in Best of the Super Juniors, that's unbelievable.
Mm.
Like, that's like Tiger Mask won that tournament. Like, that's just one of those epic, like, because when you talk about pro wrestling, when we talk about the different flavors, like, you know, WWE is still that family-friendly entertainment stuff. You're never going to quite get the same thing. Best of the Super Juniors, I'm pretty sure they just go out there and kill each other. Like, do everything you guys can and then just send it home. So, Robbie being included, I mean, like, John Gresham, like, Will Ospreay, like, all the other guys in that tournament, it is one of the best lineups I've ever seen.
It's
and Robbie
crazy.
Fits right in.
Yeah.
I think what this says to us is that don't wait for the next WWE tour to go see some wrestling. Get out and see these local promotions. They're just absolutely fantastic.
That's the big thing that's happening right now. People are working out. You don't have to work for WWE to make a living.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in this country, us being so far away from America and part of, away from the center of what they do. We're building our own thing here. And PWA, I can't stress this enough. Every single person I know that's gone to a PWA show and seen it live has come back and seen it again.
Incredible.
And all they do when they leave is talk about how surprised they were at how good the wrestling was, how tight the show was, and how unique the comedy and the performance and everything was to Australia. Mate, Jack Bonzo, it's so good to have you on the Top Rope as our first ever guest, because you are one of the most important people in Australian wrestling, and talking about PWA is a really important thing for us. The 10th of May is the next PWA show.
That's right.
What can we expect from the next live PWA show?
Well, we've got, for one thing, we've got two of the current best women's wrestlers in the world, in Session Moth Martina and Millie McKenzie coming in, which is going to be huge. There'll be a tag team championship match between Team DK and the Four Nations.
Whoa.
And it's at Max Watts? It'll be at Max Watts,
yeah.
Where do you get tickets?
Quarter, May 10th, Oztix.
Fantastic.
And pwaplay.com to watch all the PWA shows. If you're interested in seeing Jack J. Bonzo and the rest of the PWA crew doing what they do, May 10th, we'll be there at Max Watts. I can't wait for the Coliseum weekend coming up later in the year in October. Nashie, you'll have to come to the fan enclave with us and we'll all hang out. It'll be a great time. What do you say, Nashie?
You get the limousine ready and I'll be there.
Jack J. Bonzo, thank you so much for coming on Triple M's Top Rope. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're back on Triple M's Top Rope with Chris Rose and the babyface David Nash. How good was it to talk to Jack J. Bonzo? He's a nice guy, isn't he?
Well, you say so, but I'm much more a fan of his partner, Mick Moretti. I think Mick Moretti brings chaos to Australian wrestling, and Bonzo wants order and structure. He just like reminds me of every government in this country. I don't like him that much. But anyway, it was nice to have him on.
If there's an Australian wrestler that someone wants to hear on this show, what can they do?
Well, they could email us, toprope@triplem.com.au. You can email us any questions you have for us or any of the people that come through on our show, and we can talk, because we want to talk about the things you guys want to hear about wrestling. But, I mean, speaking of chaos, Chris, the Superstar Shake-Up has just thrown WWE into chaos. There's wrestlers going in every direction.
Does this rattle you? No pun intended. And you as well, Nashie, that you've sort of got an established feeling about what these shows are, their look, their feel. I know one is red, one is blue. I've worked that out. Does this knock you off your gyroscopes, or is it something you look forward to?
Well, Roman Reigns, his colours are black, white, and blue. And Roman Reigns has just been moved to SmackDown. Everything aligns.
Right, makes sense.
Yeah, I like it, Chris, to answer your question. Like, I think adding, it's like a TV show. You've got new characters, right? You have two of your favourite TV shows. Sometimes they cross over. But the interactions of new characters with new characters is what I like about the Shaker. And you can already see it this week. Like Nashie just mentioned, Roman Reigns is one of the biggest signings to SmackDown in history of professional wrestling. Such a huge star, moved over to SmackDown. The first thing he does on the first night, punch the boss in the face. Punch Vince McMahon right in the face with a Superman punch. This week, his son, Shane McMahon, comes out. And as we remember, Shane McMahon just spent the last couple of months beating up Miz's dad, right?
Yep.
He comes out in the middle of the ring, grabs a mic and says about Roman Reigns punching his father, Vince, what kind of man punches a father? What kind of man would punch a father?
I'm guessing most of the male professional wrestlers have sired children, so I'd say lots of men are punching fathers on wrestling. I couldn't get the point of that. But of course, Elias came on board, didn't he?
Well, Elias is another huge signing to SmackDown, and already Elias and Shane McMahon are best buddies. They're all hanging out and beating up Roman Reigns together. Beating up Roman Reigns seems to bring people together in some way.
It's like morning tea with Cabana and cheese. It brings the office together and you get to mingle with those people you never see.
And you probably throw the hat around for a good cause at the same time. So throw in $10 and put one on Roman.
One of the most surprising changes to SmackDown in this shakeup is that Finn Balor, the Intercontinental Champion, is now on SmackDown, which means the Intercontinental title is a SmackDown title now, not a Raw title.
Did it swap with the US belt or something?
No, good question, Chris, because as we know, the US champion right now is Samoa Joe, or Samoan Joseph, as I like to call him. And Samoan Joseph is holding the US title, but we don't know where he lands currently.
Right.
So will he move to Raw? We don't know, but it would make sense to have two belts on SmackDown, two belts on Raw on the male side.
So he hasn't got a citizenship within the WWE yet?
No, probably not. I guess the belt doesn't count as a passport. But Finn Balor in SmackDown can mean a lot of different things. Like I said, the exciting matchups. Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura is something that hasn't happened yet. And for a lot of New Japan fans, we would like to see that fight go down in the WWE. And that is a potential absolute dream match that they now are both on SmackDown that could be done.
So Nakamura is an example of one of the Japanese wrestlers who's moved to the WWE in recent times. It's been a trend, right?
It is. I mean, Japanese wrestling has become so hot in the last 5 years that a lot of talent has moved over to WWE.
And then Bonza was talking about how Japanese wrestling is coming to Australia as well.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Japanese wrestling taking over the world inside and out of WWE.
Itchy knee, sunshine, go rockle.
That's very correct, Nashy. Great input. Shout out to another Aussie, Buddy Murphy, who's moved up from the Cruiserweight tournament, well, the Cruiserweight division of 205 Live, up into SmackDown.
Can I ask another question as someone who's not as skilled as you gentlemen are in this art? 205 Live is another different show, right?
Yes, you have to be under 205.
Is that
pounds.
Right?
Pounds.
Yes, yes.
Interesting. So that's like there used to be a guy who played for the Sydney Kings in the NBL Australia called Dwayne McLean, and he played in the Philippine League where you were only allowed one player over the height of 6'3".
Is that right?
That's right. So, and 205 Live is not something we see on cable TV in Australia. It's just on the WWE Network, is it?
Just on the WWE Network, but it is filmed the same night as SmackDown. So it's the same crowd as SmackDown. It's filmed straight after SmackDown.
And what about NXT? Is that on cable now or just on the...
Just on the WWE Network.
Because it used to be on TV and I haven't seen it for a long time.
Yeah, I think it had little stouts on TV here and there, but it really is... they really do focus all their content onto the WWE Network now. It's their Netflix and the numbers are through the roof of how many people watch it.
Right, that's really interesting.
Yeah, you think you're watching them, but secretly they're watching you.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Another new tag team. Paige returned this week and announced that she had a new tag team up her sleeve. Asuka, who I know you're a huge fan of, Chris.
Love
a huge fan.
Asuka.
Speaking of more Japanese talent. And a young lady named Kairi Sane. They call her the Pirate Princess in NXT. She comes out with a little pirate's wheel and a pirate's hat. It's very like, J-pop, very like happy, lots of peace signs, everyone's, yatta, it's really fun.
And she's got the insane elbow, right?
Yeah, yeah. One of the greatest top rope elbows I've seen since the Macho Man. Ooh, yeah, that girl's got a hell of an elbow.
Dashie, do you think we could rename the show Triple M's Insane Elbow and get away with it?
Insane elbows off the top rope.
Oh, wow.
Guys, straight into your earlobes.
So much happening in the Raw and SmackDown shakeup, but I've got to talk to you about one main thing that happened on SmackDown this week. And I'm going to be honest with you, it made me a little uncomfortable. We have to talk about the return of Bray Wyatt and the Firefly Funhouse. Is everyone across what happened here?
Yes, I've certainly seen the first episode.
So, as we know, listen to how serious I'm getting here. Bray Wyatt is one of the scariest characters in WWE. He's like the modern-day Mankind, right? He was a leader of some cult called the Wyatt Family, living out in the bayou, wrestling alligators with his bare hands and laughing
about
it.
It was the movie Deliverance. The character was inspired by the movie Deliverance.
Right, there you go. So you can kind of get the idea of what Bray Wyatt has been in WWE. Former heavyweight champion, a huge talent, has been gone for quite a while. Suddenly this week, he pops up on something called the Firefly Funhouse, dressed in a goddamn red jumper and a collared shirt, smiling, grinning ear from ear, talking to kids. What is going on, gentlemen? Is Bray Wyatt completely lost his mind?
Unless it's a court order that he's got to visit some kids in hospital and make them laugh and make them happy again.
I thought it was eerily reminiscent of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Hey!
You know, Pee-wee Herman. We all know what happened with Pee-wee Herman. I think he's given a restraining order to be kept away from kids. But what I liked was...
I mean, disqualified!
it took me back to my romper room days as a kid with Miss Patricia.
It's uncomfortable, though. All those shows are always weird, aren't they? Because well, someone talking intently to children on a camera, it just makes me uncomfortable.
And the characters, they look like a possessed doll called Pammy the Witch.
Yep.
And my favourite, Mercy the Buzzard. And Mercy is like a buzzard's head, and it comes out of a cardboard box which has in black text written on it, Mercy the Buzzard.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, he took a chainsaw out, which doesn't happen on kids' TV too often, and sawed through a cardboard cutout of himself.
There was a beautiful little touch as well.
How existential is that?
Once he saw through the cutout, behind him was these red roses that were supposed to represent the blood spurting out of himself, cutting himself in half. Yeah. So they had all the fans of WWE have just taken this 2-minute video and just pulled it apart. They're trying to find any little message or sign inside this really uncomfortable children's show that aired for 2 minutes on Raw. But I think this is the most exciting thing already in wrestling. The fact that Bray Wyatt is back being overly nice and talking to you like this, he's got to completely crack at some point and become the most evil entity in the history of wrestling. It's got to happen.
It's going to
turn into a politician.
Yeah, exactly. But I've just got to say how weird he was. And can we just quickly talk about the main event? You know, the last couple of weeks, Big E from the New Day has been out with an injury. So Kofi the champion, Xavier Woods, have indoctrinated a new person into the New Day, and that is Kevin Owens. They've called him Big O instead of Big E, and he's been dancing around with them, wearing the New Day shirts, wearing the horn. And tonight he was on commentary with Xavier Woods. They had a commentary desk that was bright orange with pancakes all over it. It was really, really cool.
And delicious.
Delicious. The most delicious announcer's desk I've ever seen. In the middle of the main event, in a classic heel turn, Kevin Owens turns around and super kicks Kofi straight in the face, rips off the New Day shirt, and proceeds to beat the living crap out of Kofi Kingston all over the ring, setting up Kevin Owens versus Kofi Kingston for the title at Money in the Bank. I'm already psyched for this pay-per-view.
If you are going to chin kick someone, it must be followed with a ripping off of some item of clothing, whether it's in a wrestling ring, whether it's in a bar.
Yes, and if you're not going to rip anything off, they've got to go through a barbershop window.
Or depending on how things work. No, I won't say that. And also, it was also from the women's perspective, I think Becky Lynch has announced that she's prepared to defend both belts that she won at WrestleMania at Money in the Bank.
Becky two belts. She'll be going up against the new talent, Lacey Evans, from Monday Night Raw, who is a homegrown NXT talent that's been brought up. And then as well, she's going to face Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's title. So can Becky Two Belts walk in and walk out as a double champion? I don't see it happening, gentlemen.
Two separate matches.
Yep. Yes, two separate matches.
Yeah, it's unprecedented.
It's not. I don't think she can win both. So the question is, do they put the belt on the new talent, Lacey Evans, and start off Raw with a whole new statement? Or are we back to the queen, Charlotte Flair, holding the women's belt on SmackDown? There's no way she holds both belts. There's no way she can fight two matches in one night.
Lacey Evans is hard to like. She's meant to be this epitome of womanhood. But
what's wrong with you? She's easy to like. Have you looked at her?
But what I do like is her signature punch at the moment is called Women's Right.
Yeah, the Women's Right. It's beautiful.
Very 60s.
All this talk of debuting characters and stuff on Raw and SmackDown does have me thinking about some of the greatest debuts in wrestling history, right? Some of the favorites. Do you guys have any favorites of like great wrestling debuts? Nashy?
Favorite debut is Chris Jericho.
Oh.
How the WWE. Good.
That was the one where The Rock was in the ring talking smack, and they had that Y2K countdown.
Yep. The story was Chris Jericho was thinking about a way. I think he was in the post office, and he was looking at all this Y2K. It all started with the Y2K bug. You know, it was going to become the year 2000, and zombies were going to rise from their graves, and our computers were going to swallow us whole. And he was thinking, that could be a kind of cool way to make my introduction into WWE. So it was inspired by that. And then, of course, Y2J was there. And then there was the live viewing of John Cena's debut, which has become recently, with Kurt Angle returning, it has become this fantastic event that we've seen replayed. So those are the top two.
The Cena debut was so interesting because when I think about it, I don't think back to him face-to-face with Angle. I think about the moment after the match where he shook hands with The Undertaker. The Undertaker was the American Badass at the time. Mm-hmm. And just The Undertaker stopping, shaking his hand and going, "You're going to go far, kid." He was pretty spot on there.
No discussion about thugonomics at that particular point in time?
No. He didn't cut a battle rap on him, no.
For me, it's just the notion of the mega powers. When I sort of followed WWF for the first time, I mean, Hogan was such a babyface and beyond reproach. And the idea that he would form an alliance with Randy Macho Man Savage kind of blew my mind.
Can we call him Rando from now on? That's really good.
And so that was the first feeling that I got of dynamics, because in those days, wrestling was very much trying to promote baby faces,
sure,
put down heels. And the twain didn't meet so much as they do now.
Yeah.
But here was a real tectonic shift in the relationship. And of course, it was doomed to failure because of one reason.
What's that?
Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth. She was just tearing everyone apart while bringing us all together at the same time.
Gorilla Monsoon would repeatedly go, "She's beautiful, Jess. She's just beautiful."
Well, I mean, you both make great points about debuts here, because Chris, I agree with you that some of the greatest debuts were back in the day. But Nashy, I also agree that I don't think there's been a better debut since Chris Jericho. I don't think that debuts have had the hype and the bombasticness that was when Chris Jericho jumped WCW and came to WWE. The words Jericho on that screen made everybody freak out. We couldn't believe that it was real. But the only one of the modern day that I can think of that comes close to Jericho in that fans of wrestling couldn't believe it was a reality was when Roman Reigns was in the Royal Rumble, standing alone.
Styles.
And the words, "I am phenomenal," came up on that screen. And everyone could not believe that AJ Styles was in a WWE ring. We just didn't think it would ever happen.
Wow.
And that is, him and Sting are the two modern ones that you're just like, this is not real. But can I take you back? to Survivor Series 1990, possibly the greatest debut of all time. For months, people have been wondering, what's in that giant egg that's sitting ringside? What is in the giant egg? And at Survivor Series 90, the egg cracks and out comes a giant, I don't know, what was it, a rooster, a chicken? The gobbledygooker. It was a giant chicken.
Well, that makes sense.
How can you get any better than that? And not even the Shockmaster could do a better debut than a giant turkey coming out of an egg at Survivor Series.
So Vince McMahon is the person who finally solved the great conundrum, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
I'll show him which one, brother.
It's the egg.
I'll tell you which one came first, Survivor Series. That's what it is. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for another week talking all things silly and all things wrestling. It was great to talk Jack J. Bonza. It was great to talk all things Superstar Shake-Up. Going forward, we want to hear more from you about what you want to hear on this show. Top Rope at triplem.com.au. Hit us up and tell us all the things you want to hear on the show. Chris Gale, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Rose. It's been great to be here. I just want to say, Goldust, I will miss you personally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Goldust. You'll miss Goldust.
And Nashy, you know, don't be shy. You've got that referee's accreditation. That's well done. Congratulations. It's good to have you back, though.
Nashy, any final words?
I also want to talk about another favourite debut of mine, and that was when Kalen Ponga debuted for the Maroons. That was terrific.
My name has been Andrew Rose. If you're going to shout out Goldust, I got to shout out Dean Ambrose, one of the core members of The Shield, had his last match in WWE. Farewell, good sir. Maybe one day you'll want to wrestle again, and I want to watch it. You've been on the Top Rope with Chris Rose and Nashy. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.